Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and Pastors Richard and Helen Kabakian can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
I want to speak to you today. I want to speak to you about a topic that is very dear to me because I believe it helps change people's mindsets. I want to speak to you today about the God of yes. Can you repeat that after me? The God of yes. Do you know, most people think that God is the God of no. Wouldn't that be true? That may be due to the fact that what God is probably most famous for is the Ten Commandments, and most of them do start with, thou shalt not. And so we can understand why people have got the concept that God is the God of no, but I want to talk to you today about God being the God of yes. While Helen and I were shopping just a few days ago for our children, trying to find some things for them, I came across a gadget that I thought, I can't even believe something like this even exists, but I know it exists because a lot of people can identify with it, and it's called the no button. Anyone seen this before? It's for those of you at work when you keep getting requests. I've been tempted to get one myself. And when people say, Pastor Richard, can we buy lights for the stage?
Oh.
Pastor Richard, can we take a day off
no!
tonight? I like this thing. And you know what? Some of us think that God is in heaven with one of these things. And is that right? And we sit around and we say, God, I know I'm a Christian now and I'm doing life, but I really want to go to that party.
No.
But God, can I put that makeup on my face? Can I wear that dress?
No.
Can I go with my friends?
No.
And a lot of people do life like, God, can I breathe?
For the last time, no.
God, can I have any fun?
No. N-O.
Are you getting that? And some of us, we actually tend to do life a little bit like that. We wake up in the morning.
No.
But God, I...
No.
It's a good little gadget, isn't it? Some of you want one of these things. It'll save you a lot of time. And on this Christmas day, I just want to bring home the message that God is not the ultimate killjoy. He's not the ultimate anti-fun, anti-life, anti-anything that's good. In reality, God is the God of yes. And funny enough, I actually wanted to buy one of these that had the word yes on it, but you can't find one because we're so used to saying no. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 32, very familiar passages. The Apostle Paul is telling us everything that Christ has done for us, and he says this, what shall we say about such wonderful things as this, as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? I love that. Have a look. And now this is his logic behind that statement. Since he, God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, very appropriate for Christmas Day. God gave us his son. He says, if God did that, won't he also give us everything else? And for a lot of us, we think God has given us his son so that he can give us salvation, which is definitely the biggest part of what Christ has done for us. No doubt about it. But today I want to concentrate on those other words because I'm sure we believe God about the salvation part. I'm wondering whether I'm in a room full of people that understand the part where he says, won't he give us everything else? Because for a lot of us, it's like, God's given me salvation, but as for everything else?
No! No!
Today, I'm hoping to convince you that that's not the truth, friends. This Christmas, I want to send you out of this place believing that God is not a God of no, he's actually the God of yes. If Jesus came into the world and gave us salvation, God is saying, listen, that was the hard part. That was the part that cost God the most to give us his only begotten son, that Jesus would get off his throne, shroud himself in flesh, be born as a baby, live a whole life on earth, and then die on a cross. That was the hard part for God. giving you someone to do life with, giving you the job that you need, giving you health. To God, that's the easy part. But for us, it's like God giving me salvation was the easy part, getting me a promotion.
No, no, no.
We think that's the hard part for God. No wonder there is a generation out there that don't want anything to do with him because they think,
for the last time, no.
That's who they think he is. The reality is when God first spoke to man, God didn't say, hey, listen, I've put you on the earth and basically life is pretty much a no. No, the first thing he said to them is you may freely eat of every tree in the garden. To me, that's the God of yes. He says, but see that one tree over there? Don't touch it. Don't eat from it, actually, is what he said. Don't eat from it. And why did he do that? We know that that's our way that we get to prove our love to God. But God is saying, but as for everything else, enjoy life. Live a huge life. Enjoy. Listen, I never want to see us become a church where we think that we can't live the life that we want to live because God is up there watching every move we make, disappointed in everything that we're doing, the clothes that we're wearing. Listen, God is not so concerned about the clothes you're wearing on the outside. He's worried about who you are on the inside. Amen? We're going to get away from that stuff. I want to encourage you. The Apostle Paul is left speechless by this passage. It's like he can't express himself enough. And in other places of, in the Word of God, he tries to express himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, he says this. He says, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ. Can you repeat after me? With a resounding.
Yes.
Oh, come on, guys. That was terrible. It's Christmas morning. With a resounding.
Yes.
Doesn't it feel good to say it? How good does it feel? Good? I just love that word. Yes. Yes. Some of you haven't used that word enough. You've got teenagers. This word here is coming out way too often. Yeah, there's a whole lot of parents. Yeah, there's a whole lot of teenagers actually that are going, you preach it, Pastor Rich. Yeah, yes. It actually means go ahead. It actually means okay. Do I need to keep explaining what the word yes means? All these promises of God, he says, have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And have a listen to this part. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. Listen, when you become a person who lets yes flow out of their mouth freely, we need to be people who accept what Christ has done for us. And the way we do that is we say, yes, God, bring it on. Because for a lot of us, we think God has bound us up and we can't do stuff. God says, I didn't bind you up, you bound yourself up. And today we just need to break those chains because some religious person has put that no upon you. Some religious institution put that no upon you. Auntie so-and-so put the no on you. God didn't put the no. God has put the yes. God put the, and the greatest Christmas gift that I could think of preaching to you about today is to tell you, leave this place knowing that God is for you. He is not against you. Everything's a big, fat yes. It's a yes. It's a yes from God. His glory, his promises are yes. I think we've forgotten verses like Psalm 37, verse 4. Come on, let's read this one out with some passion. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. We've forgotten verses like that. We've forgotten. We somehow think we've got to twist God's arm to give us our heart's desire. He says, are you kidding me? I love you. You don't have to twist my arm. It's a resounding yes from me. Do you know if God's put a desire in your heart, please don't think it's your desire. God put it in you. And we think it's our desire and we sort of hide it from God. God says, why are you hiding it from me? I put it within you and I want to see you fulfill it. Amen. Oh, I'm hearing some yeses come out of the crowd now. I like that. Let's get some yeses on. God is the God of yes. Amen. If God is for us, the Bible says, who can be against us? Do you know what? There is not a sickness that comes upon you that is a judgment from God or from a condemning God. Did you know that? Sometimes when we get sick, it's like, oh, I've done something wrong. No, friends, that's religious thinking. God doesn't impose sickness on you. Amen? I'm serious. You've got to start dealing with your theology about that. The enemy brings it. God may allow it, but it comes from the enemy. God didn't put us on the earth to make us sick. Are you hearing that? Or because you did something wrong, or because you didn't go to church one day, and that's why you had a car accident, God is judging me. No, you were texting, that's all. You weren't concentrating. None of our broken cars or failed appliances are a punishment from God. None of our relationship strife is a sign of God's wrath. None of our lost jobs is a penalty because of our sin. None of our wayward children is the crack of God's whip of retribution. No, no, we are in Christ. If we're in Christ, if God is for us, come on, church, if God is for us, who can be against you? If the God of the universe gives you the big, who cares what anyone else gives you? But if God's giving you the thumbs up, we got the thumbs up. Hey! Oh, but Pastor Rich, you know, like, I know God used to love me last Thursday, but I've done some things that aren't great. Like, so I think God's love for me has decreased a little bit since then. And this is why I love verses like Romans 5:8. Look at what it says. It says, God showed us his great love by sending Christ to die for us when? While we were still filthy, rotten, didn't love him, didn't go to church, didn't know who he was, sinners. Listen, God still loved you when you were at your worst. You know what? Try. I'm going to put a challenge out to you. Try and live a life that is so low that God can't love you, because God says, I can even get under that, to be honest. I can even get under that. Friends, he doesn't love us because of what we do. He loves us because of who we are. And unless you stop being a human being, if you become a rock or a brick or a piece of metal, then he may not love you, okay? I'll give you that. But while you are a human being, God so loved you that he gave us his son. Amen. And he's not going to give you more or less based on what you do and how much you do. And it's, friends, I would love to tell you that that's the truth, but it's not. So if this is the truth, why do we feel that this is the case? Because there is an enemy. There is an enemy, friend. And although the Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Listen, it doesn't mean that there will be no one against you. It just says that they will not be successful. But listen, let me tell you, there is an enemy who doesn't like you very much, and he is against you. And he tells you things like this. There is no way that God could love you because you're not perfect. Listen to this one. There's no way that God loves you because you got divorced. Yeah, that's the devil speaking, not God. There's no way that God could use you. You weren't brought up a Christian. You've done too many mistakes with your life. You've done too many things. There's no way God's going to... Friends, that's the enemy speaking. So what do we do with that voice? Well, listen, do you know... Do you know this button? Every single one of us need to take this off the devil. And when he says God can't use you, you need to say, no! Yeah, come on. And we need to walk around every single day. And when the enemy says, now listen, there's no way that God's going to keep blessing you.
No!
Whereas we go, really, devil? Really? Talk to me. Come on, let's sit down on the couch. Let's have a chat about it. No, no. When he comes to you, just go,
N-O. Yeah. No! No, 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 no.
Come on.
No!
Let's take the no button back off the enemy, because he's telling us that God is saying no, but really we need to be saying
no, no, no.
You're not worthy to preach, Pastor Richard. You're not a perfect person.
For the last time, no.
And I've got to do that. Every single one of us need one of these inside of our spirit. The Bible says resist the devil. Resist the devil. Say no, and he will flee from you. Resist him. Resist the temptation. Resist it. Resist the temptation to believe that God is a God of no. Look, there's no way that God is for
no.
you. Just stop it, enemy. I believe that God is for me. I believe that God does love me. Your children aren't going to serve the...
No!
Because you parents, you've made too many mistakes. There's no way your children are going...
No!
You're not going to prosper financially. Amen? But you've got to get this... I pray that you could all swallow this. Wouldn't it be great if it was like on the inside and you could just walk around?
No!
I love this thing. I might put it on my desk just to remind me. Psalm 84, verse 11. I just want to throw some scripture at you because this is the anchor to your soul. Amen? This isn't just a nice happy clappy talk. This is the absolute truth from the Word of God. Psalm 84, verse 11. It says, for the Lord God is our sun and is our shield, and he gives us grace and glory. Listen to this. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. Oh, there it is, Pastor Richard. There you go. You've just contradicted yourself. That means I have to do right for the Lord to... Yeah, no, no. The Bible tells us what the right is. Trust in Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
For those who do what's right, what's the right thing to do? Trust that Jesus is for you. That's the part. Listen, that's all God expects you to do is just trust Him. That's the part where you do what's right. If you're trusting in yourself, then you're doing what's wrong. Because if you're trusting in yourself, let me put it to you this way. Jesus died on the cross for nothing because salvation is all about you. God wants you to be on the other side of the fence where you say it's all about Him. God isn't going to heal you because you pray a lot. He's going to heal you because you're His child. Because He paid the price for you on the cross. When Jesus had nails put into His hands, He paid the price for your healing. You don't have to pay it all over again. You just have to trust Him and believe Him for it. Amen. Give the Lord a huge round of applause if you believe that. Okay, this is the part that we have to be careful of. Are you ready? Listen to this part. Listen to this part. The God you believe you serve will determine what other people deserve. The God that you think you serve will be the way you treat other people. Are you hearing that? If you think God is a God of
no,
then when anyone asks you something or can you please help them or
no, no, no.
If God's not helping me, why should I help
for
you?
The last time, no.
And that's why God has to change your mentality. You know, if you believe God is the big judge and God's judging everybody, guess what sort of character you will tend to have? When you believe God is gracious and God's forgiving everybody and God just loves people, then the God that you serve will be the God that you help other people deserve. Are you hearing this? That's why God needs us to be people who are yes people. You can't give what you haven't received. If you think He's the God of no, you will become the human of no. You'll become the parent of no. Are you hearing this? Do you know, Christmas happened because Mary said yes. You know, really, Mary could have just said, really? You want me to have a baby? I'm a teenager. People are going to think that I did something that I shouldn't have. Luke chapter 1, verse 38, the angel is speaking and he says, did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son as old as she is? Everyone called her barren and here she is, 6 months pregnant. Nothing you see is impossible with God. And Mary said, yes, 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 I see it now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me, just as you say. And then the angel left her. Christmas happened because a teenager said yes. Amen. Christmas happened because a teenager said yes. You know, I've taught my staff. Just come on, let's get a little bit practical. I've taught my staff that when Pastor Richard says that he wants something done, I don't need to be surrounded by
no.
that. I don't need to be surrounded. I've taught them to say, yes, Pastor Richard, but do you realize what that will mean? That's all. Give me the consequences of what I've just asked, but don't just give
no.
me that. I don't want to be surrounded by no people because I don't serve a God who says no, so why should I be surrounded by people who say no? Give me a yes. Now, listen, if you're an employee of somebody, listen, learn to say yes, but give them the consequences of that action. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hey, guys, I want every single chair put out in our church service. Yes, Pastor Richard, but do you realize that half of them won't be filled? And then give me the consequence of what I've just asked for. Often I will say, well, then if that's the case, don't worry about it. I will be the one that will often say, well, then if that's the case, don't worry about it. But don't you become a no person. It's so easy.
No.
It's so easy.
N-O.
It just comes out of our mouths. Sometimes we don't even think about it. But that's not the way God wants us to live. He wants us to be yes people. Now listen, for some of you, as you go into the new year, learn to say yes. Be a yes person. Amen? Now some of us know what happened to Jim Carrey when he decided to become the yes man. Right? He ended up marrying a Middle Eastern lady from Fatouche. What was her name? Farinouche. Some of you don't remember the film. Anyway, he ended up saying yes too many times and he found himself in a bit of a hole because he was saying yes to everybody. Listen, I'm not saying that your life needs to now be overrun by people and helping 18 people move on the one day because you can't say no. But my point is do you have a yes spirit? And if you don't, maybe it's because you don't understand you've got a yes God. And you've got a yes God and He is there for you. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. Saying yes can lead you to the ultimate question. Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? Yeah, some of you think, how does that? Because you know what? Sometimes people don't even go out on a date. Because like, well, you're not like Mr. Perfect, you're not Mrs. Perfect. And so it's always a no, no, no. I know of a young lady, she was asked out on a date by a guy and she wasn't madly in love with him, but she just said, Yes. So they went out on a coffee date. He brought his cousin. They got together. Now they're married. It's good to say yes. Say yes. Get good at saying yes. Be open to opportunities. Say yes. Parents, get used to saying yes. It's Christmas time. All of you are about to go on holiday. Don't take this with you. Don't take it with you. Your kids are going to want to play with you. They're going to want to play tennis. They're going to want to do things. Don't.
No!
Some of you were planning to steal it off me so that you could take it to your Christmas holidays. I know you were. Come on, be a yes person. Get off the couch once in a while. You know, they say in interviews, listen to this, in interviews, most people think that the interviewer is worried about the questions that are about to take place, about what have you done and where have you worked. But they reckon one of the most important questions is when they ask you, did you find the office okay and did you have a good travel coming into the city? They say within the first 90 seconds, most employers will decide whether they're going to employ you or not. 90 seconds. Why? Because if you sit down and they say, so did you find the office okay? No, not really. No, it was really hard to find a car park and blah, 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 negative, negative, negative. And that's the sort of employee I'm going to be for you. Do you know what? I was reading an article. They say, you know what? If you were in a 5-car pileup, when they say to you, did you get into the office okay? Say, it was fantastic. I found a car park so easy. It was awesome. It was great. Everything is flying fine. Because all of a sudden, they start to see you're a yes person rather than a no person. I'm helping some of you out there right now. I'm being highly proud. Let's make yes a big part of our life. Amen. If you believe what I'm saying, give someone a high five. Say yes. 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 I took on... Some of you remember this story. I was looking for a job. There was a little article, a little job, little ad about doing some spruiking. You know what spruiking is? You know the guy that stands in a car yard going, ladies and gentlemen, we have a fine car over here, blah, 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 blah. I felt incredibly overqualified to go for the job, but I needed a job, and I just said yes. So I went to the job interview. As they were doing the job interview with me, they worked out, you're pretty much overqualified for that job, but how about we give you this job? And the job that they gave me was the job I would have loved. But it wasn't advertised, but because I was there, because I said yes, I ended up being interviewed for another job, which was the sales trainer job, and that's the job that I love, but I wouldn't have even got that job if I didn't say yes to this job. Amen? You've got to be open, friends. Oh, I'm not going to quote that job. I'm not going to quote. It's only a small little, you know, one bedroom. No, I'm not going to quote. Yeah, but the guy who owns it, that bedroom is for his daughter. And he's a multimillionaire who's got some apartments. But and because you did a good job building that one little house and you did a great job there because you were a yes man, he says, you know what? How about I use you over here? Are you hearing this? Learn to have a yes spirit because we serve a yes God. Have I said it enough? Very simply. I'm not trying to be complicated today. Come on, let's be a yes man. Let's be a yes woman.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.